Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm still here. I've missed so much, Joe. I've missed so much. A week has passed and it feels like eons. Tim and Joel, call it in the ring. Not yet. Kate and Joel, slap a sticker on it.
Kate comes on this stupid show that we do every single week. It's Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fightful Overbooked. And then we wrap up the show and she's like, hey, when do I start? And I'm like, could you start this week? She's like, I'm on the Jericho cruise. So I'm like, Kate, what the fuck? Why? What is wrong with you? And then she's like, isn't next week the Super Bowl? I'm like, no, the 12th is the Super Bowl. And who cares about sports? Sports are stupid. Tim's back. But it was also, I mean, listen, this was good timing because part of you and I talking about like your new schedule was like PLEs.
Play. You know, they're plays from here on out. I'm trying to shorten it because, you know, we got, it's like six syllables, but premium life. Yeah. Six syllables. If you say the whole thing, PLE is three syllables. Let's get it down to one, you know, let's get away from PPV, pay-per-view, three syllables. Let's get it to one. It's a play.
It's a play. Well, anyway, I asked Tim to come on for a plethora of wrestling talk this week because who else am I going to call?
Ghostbusters. Ooh, most of the Eagles gonna win, Scott. One of them just gonna lose.
Sam, the Eagles gonna win.
Oh,
for you Muppets fans out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, all the Muppets thumbs, NFL crossover crowd.
Video, thumbs up. Y'all know the deal. Leave a comment after the fact. If you're in the chat, hey, how are you? It's good to see you. Hi. And if you're on Overbooked and you're not subscribed yet, hit that button. And as our friend Austin Evans says, ring-a-ling the ding-a-ling bell. Super chats support us here at Fightful Overbooked. So if you go ahead and hit that little dollar sign amount at the bottom of the screen, any amount, get your question statement right on the air. We also pull up chats all the time. But let's face it, if you can financially support us and you want to, we will love you forever. And it might actually get Tim and I to the Elimination Chamber a little faster. So
yeah, get me there. Put me in the chamber.
But yeah, you know what? Give Tim the chamber spot. He's going to be... You know what? Don't even give Tim the main event. Let Tim go to WrestleMania and face Roman Reigns.
I'll take care of business. I'm faster than him. I don't know about the Usos. I'll have to call in some backup.
And if you need some backup, go ahead and go to our Fightful Overbooked Discord because there's always backup there. There's a link in the description. So come and hang out with us. How about that?
I'm so physically uncomfortable, Joel. I look like a bum. I haven't shaved. I've been in the studio, like moving stuff in the rafters all day.
My beard is getting progressively grayer to the point where I'm noticing, and it's upsetting.
Yeah, you got old fast. Hit you like a brick wall. Like a
brick hit house. My kid. I didn't tell you this off the air. I probably should have. We had our first baby is sick experience today.
Oh yeah, that's never fun.
Man. Yeah,
did a few of those now. Spent a couple of nights in the hospitals already.
It's thankfully not that bad. He had a low grade fever and he's had the sniffles. Yeah. He's just been like congested and whiny, but he's been fine. Like put him in the bath a little earlier. Like, mostly good, but it was one of those days. It's like you feel for the poor sucker because he's just rubbing his little nose.
He doesn't know what to do.
He's congested. And hearing your kid like whine and complain while congested is a completely different sound tone and a completely different like sound signature than what you're used to. And it's kind of funny, but you feel a little bad.
Yeah, a little bad.
Anyway, so that's what I was doing today. That's why I have all the grays in my beard. Yeah, at least lots of punch, which is good. Yeah, it's dad beard. The Grammys aren't in. Do you like the Grammys?
I don't care.
Yeah, no one wants
that. Does anyone care? Who watches these shows, man?
Taylor Swift fans?
Yeah. You know what the Grammys is really good at accurately doing? Giving people who make the most money the awards, which is like basically what it is and what it should be. Like, it's not about artistry at all. It's literally like, do you make the most money this year? Okay, album of the year. There you go. Also, we got three other awards that are similarly titled, but they mean the same thing.
I'm pretty sure that the voting from the Academy of Arts and Sciences are the same as the Junos here in Canada. Are you familiar with the Junos voting?
Oh my God. I don't even pay attention. I keep seeing people I know at the Junos, and I was like, yeah, those are the people who would be at the Junos but have no like reason to be there. But of course they're there because they're just like, it's the most like schmarmy thing in the world. Like, it's just weird kiss asses everywhere.
The way that the Juno voting was explained to me, by the way, the Junos are like the Canadian Grammys, for those who don't know. Essentially, the way it was explained to me was like, or maybe it was the Grammy voting was the same way. You have these people sitting on the board voting for these artists. The thing is, the way the voting works is basically a lot of the people on the board are representatives of different labels.
Yeah.
And all of the votes are coming based on like, so they're using their blocks of votes and voting for their label rep or their artists on their label. And they're like taking the votes from other areas where they could be voting for other people. And they're putting all their votes collectively behind like one or two people. It's a really strange system.
The whole thing is, it's the same thing. Like, all of these awards shows are insane. Like, they're based on nothing of real value, consequence, or like it's such a subjective thing to measure to begin with, but they're not even good at that. Like, they can't even evaluate. It's based on nothing. Like, sure, watch the show. I'll catch some performances after, maybe. But they're also usually terrible because they're not, they're so pruned that they're just, they're not the best way to see any of those artists. So,
oh, well, there's always Ticketmaster.
To also not attend those shows because I'm not paying that. I ran into an internet guy who had seen Springsteen 75 times.
Oh, you met John Alba.
Why? Like, why do that? Like, I love The Boss, but like, what are you getting out of that at a certain point?
Like, it's like people who are really into Fish and they would tour around and like watch Fish every night.
Yeah, but
like,
those people are Fish people, and it's like, yeah, I get it. Not for me. I'll stay away. But like that, I understand the weird jam band cult. People really into Springsteen that they're following them. I don't know. It's weird.
I mean, listen, there are people who do it in wrestling too. Like, you got those people in the front row.
At least that changes every night.
Like, no, but the thing, yeah, they're going to different towns, but like they're seeing a lot of the same. They're seeing the same people. Yeah. It's just sometimes I would bet that some of the people who go to the repeat shows, like go to the house shows or go to all the TV tapings, like you see a lot of the same stuff every time.
Like I wouldn't go to house shows because nothing interesting happens. Like,
yeah, like there's once in a while where I will watch Impact and I'll be not critiquing, but like I'll be talking about someone's match with Cresta, and I'll just be like, yeah, they basically just did the same match they did last week, and that's it.
Yeah, that happens a lot. Fortunately, Dynamite, not so much, even though there's a lot of repeat matches, but yeah.
Playing the hits. You want to talk about Dynamite first, and then we can talk about...
Yeah, let's rush through it, considering I barely watched it, because I am a busy man.
So what did you catch? What did you like?
Okay, so I watched the first, like... third of it very thoroughly, and then I had to skip through the rest of it just because I'm doing 1,000 things this week.
Sorry, this is a really good shout. People that go to NXT in Florida every week, that's a really good shout. Yeah anyway, continue. AEW, what you like?
What was radical? Mox and Hangman went pretty hard. Wasn't expecting that. Thought it was just gonna be like, oh, we're getting more of this because I guess they, you know, one and one, so we got to do a third. But this was good. Great. Yeah. I love that finish, actually. Like,
there's a bigger story to be told here, which I don't think people really expected. I thought, you know, oh, he knocked him out. Okay, he's going to come back and get his revenge. No, we're going to do it again. And apparently this is now going to be going to a third fall. And I don't know. Do you think this becomes like a championship implications, or is this more of a larger story because Hangman wants to get back with the Elite? And Black Bull Combat Club kind of came out at the end of their match and started getting
in. Yeah. I did like that. Like, I don't know. There's a lot more they can do with it. It just seems fun to have these two guys wail on each other. Like, they just seem so angry the entire time. It's like a dad fight. Like, they're just like grizzled and like that. The table spot was kind of like sloppy, but it just felt so like visceral because having Moxley like just lay it out like all like kind of tired, it worked for me. I don't know.
There's a level of there's a new level coming to Hangman, is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
A new level of aggression. There's something there that we haven't seen from Hangman in a while. And I like it. I'm happy to watch him get a little bit more intense. And I think Mox is the right guy to bring him out of him.
And I think this is the right thing to do with him right now. Like, I do not want to see him rush to MJF at the moment, because I don't think there's enough depth of character there yet, but they are adding it. They're building it with this. And I think this is the right first step.
Yeah, it was good stuff. So, I mean, listen, you had Black Bull Combat Club come out. You had Yuta and Cesaro. Claudio.
Claudio.
Regardless, they come out at the end of the match and they kind of start planting the seeds that Hangman might need some friends. And, you know, Silver and Reynolds are right there for him, right?
Put them back on my damn TV.
Right.
Where they been?
They're on BTE making friends with Adam Cole, baby.
No, put them on the television.
Actually, that's the bit that's kind of funny. They've got Uno, who is going to be at Greektown Wrestling, by the way, in March. Uno is like ruining every single Dark Order recruitment opportunity. That's the new BTE bit. It's actually pretty funny. I like it. But yeah, I do want to see them on TV again. I want to see Silver and Reynolds wrestle.
Yes, please.
What else from AEW did you like this week?
Thatcher. They gave them time. Like, it was a big chunk of that show. It's good.
It felt like it was a very 50-50 reaction from what I've seen. Some people really liked the match. Some people really didn't.
It seemed too long for me. I'll give you that. Like,
to me, it didn't feel like Thatcher's best match, but it was still a really, really strong showing from both men. They know how to work each other and they know how to work. So
yeah, I think it just needed some editing, but like, it was good on the whole. Like,
we're live, pal.
Oh, I meant like in the plant, reduce the length of it. But Bryan Danielson just seems hell bent on proving that he can go long.
Yeah, I think it was
like, he just wants to go long.
One of these matches is going to have to go like a half an hour. Because I think maybe part of the story that we're telling as we get to like a 60-minute Iron Man match is that like Brian continuously has, you know, 15-minute after 50. Like, the matches keep getting a little bit longer each time. So eventually we're going to get to like, oh, his match was 38 minutes and people will be like, oh, I see what's going on here. It took up like the first 3/4 of an hour of Dynamite.
I feel like maybe check his head, make sure. Because if it seems like his only idea is me in an Iron Man match. Like just that over and over again.
They are going to go to extra falls. I know it. Oh my God. Told you. They're going to pitch to TK. We go 60 minutes.
And then we do 60 more.
60 more. And then TK is like 60 seconds more. And Brian's like, hours. And TK just looks back and is, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
Oh my God.
Hey, Rick and Morty need new voice actors. So maybe TK's the guy.
No.
What else?
Well, that's a way to spend a long weekend, I guess.
That's fair. Did you see the Takeshita match?
I did. Yeah.
That was good. It's nice to see Takeshita get a win. I'm wondering what's going on with Brian Cage. Out of one side, you're like, he's losing a lot. And then on the other side, you've got a bunch of wrestlers being like, he should be re-signing with AEW immediately. Feels like they're getting closer to re-signing him because wins and losses don't actually matter.
Well, and he's getting TV time.
And he's getting TV time. Yeah. And Ring of Honor is about to start up with the
TV. He does have a title.
Does. I would love Ring of Honor. I've said this before. I want Ring of Honor to have the 6-man titles only to have it be held by people who are not officially signed to Ring of Honor or were originally signed to Ring of Honor but then didn't sign a deal with the new Ring of Honor and they're on their way out, so they have to drop the 6-man titles to the next team.
Constantly.
Just the revolving door of 6-man championships.
It's fun because like revolving doors have like 3 segments. So
that's actually very good. I love it. Oh my God. God. Jericho Cruz is going on. So Jericho's like, hey, I won't be here. Hold down the fort.
Yeah.
Do we have to do Ricky Starks and Jericho at Revolution?
No.
Are we going to do it?
Yes.
Jericho going to get his win back?
Maybe. He's pretty generous with that. Put a weird stipulation in it and he's definitely going to get real excited.
I do kind of hope they put a weird stipulation on it.
Something about gumbo? I don't know. Is that a New Orleans thing? Is Ricky Starks actually from New Orleans? I don't know where he's from anymore. He's got like 3 hometowns.
He does. Like Texas is one of them. They'll have like a Longhorn Steakhouse.
Pick match. One.
Like Mountain Dew Pitch Black Longhorn Steakhouse match.
Oh my God. Yeah. Slather him up in barbecue sauce and let him go.
and let JR be on the call for that match.
There you go.
JR's barbecue sauce.
That's the product tie-in we've all been waiting for.
Oh, God damn. How do you think they like their steaks?
Leathery.
Jericho probably likes his well done.
Definitely.
It seems like the type.
Chewy. He likes a nice leather.
And then Ricky Starks is like a medium rare kind of guy.
Ricky Starks, I wouldn't be surprised if he would like, I like my steak, chicken breast.
True. Then Brian Cage is just like, I like egg whites. And that's all you need to know about Brian Cage.
Egg whites and these pills.
So don't talk to me about it. Did you see? Okay, so in the main event, you had Darby Allin and Samoa Joe, Mimosa Joe, Rigosa Joe, Samoa Joe, have one hell of a match for the TNT title.
As they are wont to do.
Samoa Joe regains the title. He is once again the king of television, because for weeks when he was just the ROH TV champion, he was the king of streaming at best. Now he's TNT champion, so now he's the king of television. Fine by me. Wardlow comes out at the end of the match. Wardlow had his hair cut, and the first thing I saw was 2019 Brian Cage. Same haircut, same look. I was just... didn't want to shave his head because people were going to start calling him like Wardberg or Berglow or Gold.
Berglow seems appropriate for some reason. I don't know why.
Berglow just sounds wrong. But either way, he comes out and I'm just like, oh, this is Brian Cage.
Yeah.
No, he comes out and he beals a security guard into other security guards, plays pinball with them, plays bowling with them. I don't know. Match was good. It was a lot of fun. They do the table spots. They do the bleeding. They do the thumbtacks on Darby's hoodie when he comes out. Tim, why?
He's hardcore.
Why would you do that? Would you put thumbtacks in your sweater to fight a person?
Seems insane.
Make it a Bayou match and just be a horrible swamp fight. Let's go.
You know what? I want a wrestling match with alligators or alligators. Yeah, crocodiles are in Australia and stuff.
I don't know, they're everywhere. There's a crocodile outside if you try.
Yeah, it's alligators in Florida, right?
I'll let the Floridians cover that one.
Yeah, there's a few of you. I know it. I don't know why you stick around despite how brutally mean I am to Florida. You deserve it. You know you deserve it.
Chat, thank you.
There's no text, it just says a dollar. Thank you. Well, thank you. $1.
They're trying to buy us a ticket so that we can get to Elimination Chamber Montreal.
$1 at a time. I love it. $1. We'll do it.
If everyone in this chat donates a dollar.
If it's an America buck, that's like $1.7.
That's true.
Get us there faster.
If everyone donates $1, we will have not enough money to get our way to Montreal.
Not even close. Plus, how will we afford pastrami?
Oh, are we going to go to Schwartz's?
It's not that good. Everything about Montreal that is like food based that they're very proud of, one, is just Jewish food, and two, isn't as good as I can get here.
There's one thing we can do well. It's the good. Our Yiddish food is good.
Yeah, but there are Jews everywhere. And they don't just live in Montreal.
Yeah, but come on.
I can get a great bagel in Toronto. I can get a great pastrami sandwich in Toronto. What is this nonsense?
Orlando saying I live in Florida. We do deserve the Christmas.
See, they know. They know it's messed up.
Thank you, G bro.
Oh, it's a Canada buck though.
Yeah, won't even get us a Timbit. What the hell?
It's most of a Canada buck. Thank you. Appreciate very G bro of you.
G bro, who by the way donated to Super Chat during the he goes, let's have a Timbit.
He knows.
I'm assuming gender. I'm sorry, G bro. It's bro, so I have to bro. Anyway. They donated a super chat during my post impact show on Fightful and asked, how do you feel about macaroni and cheese? And that popped me tremendously because if anyone's watching the new show that I'm doing with Ella J called The Run Sheet, it's unaffiliated from Fightful or anyone. It's just our own thing. So if you look up the Run Sheet on any of your podcast platforms, we talk about Ella's awful food takes. And her first one is that she hates mac and cheese.
Some people have that opinion. I don't get it. I don't get how you could hate something so pure and delightful.
She's like, I love cheese. And I'm like, then what's wrong with you?
That's all it is. It's literally a vessel for cheese and cheese. Like that, there's nothing more.
Great wrestling opinions, awful mac and cheese opinions. We got to fix that. I don't know what it is with
this. Nonsense.
Great show though. Go check out the Run Sheet Pod. Let's move on. Is there anything else from Dynamite? Oh, the Roosh stuff. You had mentioned seeing the Roosh.
Yeah, Roosh is a hit, man. That's fine. If Brian Cage couldn't do it, surely Roosh can. Anyway,
a lot of money in that briefcase though.
Too much money. He's bad with money. He's not like, I don't know. Oh, and the guns. Billy Gunn's a dumbass. So there's that.
Do you think this is going to turn into Billy Gunn turning on the Acclaimed because he gave them the title shot without their permission, yada, yada.
Think of the t-shirts. No.
Think so?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. You got to sell t-shirts. Scissor me daddy ass. That ain't going anywhere for a little while.
It's really funny because this is the one thing about AEW that I kind of respect in a way. It's that they don't always go for the most marketable.
They truly don't, which is fair. And as you said, worthy of respect. Like, it is good. But I don't know that I'm ready for that yet. The guns suck. Let them suck on their own. Let them suck free. Yeah. Away from daddy.
I think it's a really good story that we're telling. I'm ready for the AEW tag team titles to mean something again.
Yeah, right now it's just kind of back and forth. And this week they did the squash match. Like, it was, you know.
Yeah, it's just kind of floating, and I'm ready for something new. Once that happens, I will be happier to watch them fight.
This could be a really fun blow-off match, though, if they add some, like, zest to it. It needs a little bit something else, but, like...
Yeah. Get some lemon zest.
Yeah.
That's all you need. And then on the women's side of things, I did enjoy the bunny approaching Jamie Hayter and being like, hey, I want a title shot. And Jamie Hayter being like, yeah, okay.
Sure.
Your ass, why not?
Yep.
But then, so on the other side of things, they're still doing the who's an OG and who's a outsider.
Never ends.
So Britt Baker gets beat up by Saraya and Toni Storm, and then Ruby comes to check on Britt Baker in the trainer's room later on, and Britt Baker's like, I don't trust you. Like, what are you doing here? I still think, and I said this before on the show, and I've said it elsewhere, I still think this whole thing ends with Britt Baker turning on the OGs, turning on her friend Jamie Hayter, and we're off to the races for the women's championship.
Yeah, that's an easy way to get there. It just makes sense. Like,
it'll just blow up everything. And then Britt's just like, I never cared about OGs versus outsiders.
I'm here for me.
Yeah, I want my title. This is easy. It's a pretty good way to heap heat on her after everyone's been like firmly behind her because of Jamie.
Yep.
Yeah, it works. Maybe chat's just like, you're dumb. I hate you. You're dumb. You're
dumb and I hate you. Here's 99 cents.
Yeah, wrestling fans, you ever listen to a show and then you hear people call in and you're just viscerally angry at them because the questions that they're asking are so dumb?
Just seething. My takes are all so ignorant at this point. I'm just trying to get through everything.
I'm afraid that the crowd's going to turn on Cody Rhodes because everyone really, really loves Sammy and nobody else. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
That's it. Yeah, we can talk about that.
We will. Let's jump into Vengeance Day real quick. Let's talk about that because I know you watch it. So did I. I watched.
Yeah, we watched the play.
Yes, the play. The plea? The play.
No, it's a play.
It's a play.
A plea is a thing. It's got an A.
I went into the show feeling pretty good with my predictions. The only thing that got blown out of the water was the tag team titles, the men's tag titles.
Big surprise. You know what? I was very surprised by how the flow of the night went because I really, really enjoyed the first half of this show and less so the latter half, weirdly.
Really?
Yeah.
So what was your favorite match of the night?
That's a toughie. I did really, really like, the opener, Lee and Dijak.
Yep.
Dijak, who this is the first time I'm really seeing his full package.
Go on.
Yeah. And it's just Sin City, eh? So he's just like Merv or Marv or whatever it was from Sin City.
Hard Justice.
Yeah, like they've even stolen the font and the decor for his entrance, which I actually think is a very good idea. This isn't really a criticism. You can take stuff from like 15-year-old movies and comic books and like work it into your aesthetic. And it's not so blatant that I find it atrocious. I actually really like it. Like, I think that this is a good presentation for Dijak, who seems smaller to me somehow, though, now. I don't know.
It's because he's not with Massé.
Is that it? Massé's muscles just made him also look muscly?
Real big.
Yeah, but he looks good.
Like, it's the beard. the beard made him look smaller.
It's very, yeah, very angular.
One less finger in place.
Yeah, that was wild. Holy hell, Wesley has gotten just ripped. Like, I haven't seen him in a while, really. Like, my God.
It's amazing what laying off the marijuana will do for you.
Yeah, it's a new focus. You got away from a bad crowd, you see? That's what it was.
The Wesley and Dijak match, so I went in knowing, like, Wesley has to win. It's his first
major
defense.
Yeah.
Dijak just came back, like, we're just setting him up, and I knew it was going to be a good match, because, like, if there's one thing that's going to happen, it's that they're going to put on a banger of a match, and that's going to let people, like, forget the fact that Dijak loses in his first major title match. That being said, like, it's so funny seeing this Dijak presentation, because all I can think of is, like, he'd be pretty good with Karrion Kross right now.
Yeah, wouldn't be bad, actually.
Dijak back that quickly, and they're not going to move Kross down that quickly. I think they're just going to be on parallel planes for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, their ethos, I guess, are different, but we could work that out.
You got to put a pretty woman with Dijak. Who's it going to be?
I don't know. I don't know, like, any of these NXT women, even though they introduced me to all of them with that weird parking lot segment.
Yes, everybody but nobody took out Nikita Lyons.
I didn't love any of that, because I also no one cares if Nikita Lyons got, like, is it Christy Yamaguchi? Who got the knee attack?
Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding did the knee attack. Who received the knee attack?
Oh, I can't remember that. Maybe it was Christy Yamaguchi.
Let's just call it. Anyway, she got Tonya Harding'd. And, like, who cares? She seems to suck. Like, I would love you to be like, yeah.
Nancy Kerrigan.
What's that?
Nancy Kerrigan.
Nancy Kerrigan. That's what it was. Thank you. Is Christy Yamaguchi even a figure skater? Doesn't matter.
She was.
Okay. Yeah, like, who cares? It's the NXT parking lot. Of course. Of course, you got to watch out. And it's Nikita Lyons. No one cares. It's fine. She has no friends. She got what she deserved.
That's right. I still think it's Valentina Ferrer who did it.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, that was such a weird thing. I was like, oh yeah, these people are in NXT. Oh yeah.
Like, it's really weird, especially because they brought that back from Tuesday's NXT. They're, like, trying to make this a really big moment, but at the same time, like, no one cares. And Nikita's not going to be back for a while, I think.
Yeah, like, that's the weirdest part of it, is that you have to deliver on that a little, like, quickly. I'm not going to remember this, like, a month from now.
I think what they're trying to do is get someone a new character aspect and let them build on it until Nikita comes back and they have a match that nobody cares about, because Nikita is just going to be like, you hurt me and I'm upset.
And she'll sing her entrance theme and kick punch the air. And,
you know. That's right. Yeah. And she'll do the Lion's Roar and everyone will be like, you can stop now.
Please stop.
You're good. Women's Tag Team Championships. So if there's one thing that I love about the NXT and WWE Women's Tag Titles, it's that you can always tell that when they throw together two women and put them in a title match, they're going to win.
The first one. Yeah.
And this is what happens.
Which is a shame, because this match actually was really cool. I feel like
better than it should have been.
Yeah. Like, it really, I did not. Casey and Kayden have gotten much better. Like, or Katana. I don't know. One of them's Katana now, right?
Katana Chance and Kayden Carter.
Kayden and Katana are now much, much better. Like, oh my God, this was an excellent match with, like, yeah, I was really surprised. I wasn't expecting it. I don't know how they really snuck up on me that they have somehow had a very long title run, because, like, the last thing I remember is Toxic Attraction still having the titles. Like,
let me tell you why they've had a really long title run.
Because they haven't fought anyone or been on television. Like,
that was their fifth title defense since winning the Women's Tag Team Championships. And they held on to the titles for 180 some odd days.
That's one, not very long. Two, yeah, that makes sense, because I literally remember, like, Toxic Attraction having the titles. Like, I forgot they were even. Anyway, not surprised.
Yeah, exactly. But the match, like you said, the match was much better than it had any business being. Carter and Chance, I think, are prime candidates to be moved up to main. We've been saying it for a while, but if there really is an opportunity to put an emphasis on the women's tag titles, you need more women who are actual tag teams and not just two women thrown together for the sake of making a tag division.
Yeah, exactly. And they actually have a defined, like, you know, kind of gimmick that works for them. And they're great in the ring now. Like, they've really solidified, like, watching how they have evolved over the last while. Like, it's just really good to see.
Yeah, exactly. What's happened on this show? But Fallon Henley and what's her face, porn accountant Kiana James, winning that match.
They hate each other, I guess. This is all news to me.
They hate each other because they were fighting. Remember, Fallon Henley has the family bar, and then Kiana James is like, I am a real estate broker, investment woman. I want to buy your bar and make it
into. Holy hell, the NXT lore has evolved quite a bit since the last time I was watching.
Not good.
Not in a good way, but it's gotten a little bit overwrought, eh?
So they had a fight for the bar. And by the way, this is a one-on-one match between Henley and James. All I wanted that match to be was a literal bar fight in the bar. They didn't do it. They just had a regular ass match in NXT. And I was like, do the cinematic match. You had 2 weeks where you were off and you filmed 2 weeks worth of TV. One match you could have gotten by and not popped a rating, but you could have had at least people tune in and be like, I'm interested in this match that I haven't read spoilers for.
I might have watched that match.
And it would have been silly. And here's the thing. When I pitched it, quote unquote, on Twitter, Henley found it and liked the tweet.
So, like, yeah, it's out there. It's just Shawn Michaels was like, does it have a ladder? Is there a ladder in the bar? No, don't do it then. Get in the ring.
Sorry, can't do it. Can't do it.
Needs a ladder.
Can't do it. Get me Mandy Rose, though. She what? Oh, no, fire.
Damn it.
God damn it. Anyway, it's good. There's a bigger story to tell with the way that the match ended with the tag titles, though. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see where comes next. I don't think this is a long championship reign for Fallon.
Hell no.
It's hilarious because once
again, it'll be less than 180 days, I'll tell you that much.
Exactly. It's just...
We are the bar.
They should be called the bar.
Do it.
They don't just set the bar. They drink at the bar. Mm. Drew Gulak sent out a tweet in the middle of the show saying, what should Hank Walker's first gear be?
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tim, I immediately quote tweeted it with the Seth Rogen tweet.
Yeah.
And guess who liked the stupid tweet?
Hank?
Drew Gulak.
Okay, that works. Do it. He looks like it. It's perfect. It's so funny. Like,
I need Drew Gulak just absolutely going into the Seth Rogen experience.
He is... I love Hank. I'm all in on Hank. He's very charming. Like, he said like two words after. He's like, I could do that. He's great. I love him. I don't know what it is. I'm drawn to Hank. I am looking forward to his evolution. Drew Gulak, they had that tweet, the like, I'm building a wrestler, not a house, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. They had that on the screen for like a minute and a half, and he took forever to get to saying it, and it was just the weirdest thing. Like, you could have done this segment without half the screen taken up by a tweet. Like,
that's so good. And then we get to Melo and Apollo Crews. Melo wins two straight falls, but the most important part of this match is the return of Yabba Dabba Kato.
Which, like...
You knew exactly what was going to happen.
It was so obvious, because I was like, yo, is he just really stupid? Or, no, he's there for violence. All right. Yeah,
we're all there for violence, so... I'm fine with Cruz and Dabba Kato having a feud. If they do a little bit of Nigerian royalty lore, I'm all about it.
Melo, though, is the whole angle just going to be like, you degraded me so much. Like,
you tricked me. Yeah. You sold me a bill.
You said you were a prince.
You told me that if I came with you, I would have riches beyond my wildest dreams. And I almost got fired.
Yeah.
Yabba Dabba, don't.
the like the big build up to a headbutt is always so disappointing.
The big hug, and then all of a sudden he sees the heart cam, and then he's like, yeah, it's shit's on now.
Just like, this is the most athletic thing I can do.
Oh God, it's good. That's not Bald Robert. I don't know who Bald Robert is.
Are Who's you Robert? Bald
Robert? Are you Bald Robert?
I would call myself Bobbert if I was Robert.
Baldert?
Bald Bobbert?
Baldert.
Triple B.
Seems bad.
Hmm. Better give us a dollar.
It's true. Get us to Montreal. Bench tag team four-way match. New Day, Gallus, Pretty Deadly, and Chase U. I was under the impression. So let me tell you where my mind was. I thought it was Chase U's in here to take the pin. That's it. Simple, whatever. And New Day gets the win. My feeling is New Day doesn't have anything at least visible for WrestleMania, so why not keep him on the NXT card? Pop a not pop a rating, but at least the stand and deliver PLE is at like 9:45 in the morning in LA, so 1 o'clock here in Toronto or here in the East Coast.
Wrestling,
but like wrestling at like 10 a.m. in LA is like, is this something you want to do? You got to put butts in seats. So I thought New Day helped put butts in seats for this event. They sold out the show that they put it in. So keep them on, let it ride a couple more months, and there you go. New Day has Mania plans. They didn't go that route, and Gallus Boys are back on top.
Yeah, one that's cool, cool about Gallus, but like what. Aren't the Usos defending half of their titles or something like that? Did I misread that? Okay,
so yeah. So it's on SmackDown, they got really weird about this. They got a little...
Yeah.
They corrected themselves.
Hey, gave us two.
We appreciate you. New and Stone is probably the best way to watch the show.
It certainly is.
Yeah. Next week, you're going to be really confused.
What?
What's the girl doing here? Anyway, the way that they originally promoted it was for the unified tag titles.
Yeah.
And then later on in the night they corrected and they're like, no, it's just the SmackDown tag titles. So they're really confusing themselves over this whole, like, what are the Usos doing?
I'm concerned that this is going to lead to them dropping half the titles so that they can set up a WrestleMania like fatal four-way, like let's jam as many people on the card as we can situation.
Maybe
for a tag title belt, which like I don't like, because like no, I want a better way to get them out of this like we got all the gold situation than randomly taking one on a SmackDown. Like,
and I don't think that's what they're gonna do. I
hope not.
I think the story for Friday is gonna be more about like, is it going to be, who's going to be the tag team partner of Jimmy Uso? Because Jay's not going to be there.
Yeah, where's Jay?
Where's Jay? And then it's going to be Solo's going to sub in, and like they're going to win by like the skin of their teeth, and that's going to be it. Or Jay's going to show up and
last minute, half-ass it.
And not help them, but just kind of show up and distract everyone enough that Solo takes advantage and they win. And Solo's just like, love of the game. And that's right? So that's kind of where my brain is at. It makes no sense, just like the Roman thing, to have Roman lose a title going into WrestleMania.
Yeah, right? I really don't want to see that. I want it to be more like, but we'll see. That's my concern with New. That's the first thing I thought of with New Day dropping the titles here, though. That was that there was going to be some sort of weird shoehorning in of a tag match.
I don't know what they're going to do. It's entirely possible that New Day is going to still be on the card at Stand and Deliver, and it's going to be them and Gallus one-on-one because they pin New Day.
There is that.
New Day can get their way back into the world title, into the tag title picture in NXT, and New Day is still going to be part of Stand and Deliver. Don't know for sure. At the same time, you and I posited the idea of like New Day having a WrestleMania entrance where Big E comes out and introduces them, and then, you know, the three of them on stage together for the first time in God knows how long, and then he's not wrestling, obviously.
Yeah, but it's like a little
comes out and it's a mini reunion on screen, because they did the thing in Australia where they were promoting the new WWE network on Binge, and all three of them went to Australia. So they're still there, and he's obviously able to travel. He was at San Antonio for the Rumble, so yeah. There's rumor there. There's room there.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Mon Mike's also talking about, you know, Jay showing up at the end, getting pinned, getting the decision reverse. I think it's a little convoluted to go there. I think if anything, Jake shows up at the end, tags himself in, wins the match, and is just
and like, then leaves.
And then just leaves. It's just like just protecting an investment.
Yeah. Not bad. That could work.
Yeah. Roxanne Perez versus Gigi Dolan and JC Jane.
This disappointed me. I didn't really like it. Like I expected more out of it. I don't know what it was. It just wasn't working for me because it was just like too cookie cutter with the tag team stuff. It was just, I wanted something more compelling. I wanted them to just stay unified and just beat the tar out of her. And she still finds a way to win, but that's not what happened. They did the same, like, you know, and I didn't love the finish. I thought it was kind of meh. Like
what bugged me was the finish. The table spot didn't bug me, whatever. Gigi Dolin goes through the table. She set it up. She goes through it. That's common trope.
Yeah.
I don't understand why Pop Rocks from the top rope has to be used on JC Jane. Like that's a big moment. I couldn't put this person down using my regular move until now. And we weren't there. This was just kind of, it was just used. The psychology wasn't there. And someone was just like, on the live stream when we did the watch along, they were like, oh, sometimes you just use the move when it's convenient. And it's like, no, it's just
the opportunity presented itself, but like,
but it didn't need to go that way. Like it could have been, they could have done the fight on the apron and then transitioned to the ring where they did the Pop Rock spot. It just felt a little, it was convoluted, but just ill thought.
The whole thing just felt underwhelming to me. Like it just felt like not the story I wanted to see told with this. Like it didn't really differ all that much from any other triple threat. Like it just wasn't that interesting to me. I was disappointed by it.
Yeah. But either way, no one was surprised that Roxanne Perez.
No. Like, foregone conclusion.
Yeah. Bron Breakker and Grayson Waller in the cage. So this is what I said in my predictions. I said, if Mello wins, Bron Breakker's retaining. If Apollo wins, Grayson Waller's winning the NXT championship.
100%.
Yeah. And that's the way it played out. Mello won 2 straight falls. It was very, very decisive. And Bron Breakker retained his title. When they also said you can't win by escaping the cage, I'm like, well, that's like the cowardly way out that Grayson Waller would take.
Yeah, 100%.
Really, we're going to do a pin spot. So Bron Breakker wins. Match was pretty good. All things.
It was fine. Like, again, it was just like, it was a cage match. I really like, I hyped myself up for it, I think, because like the pomp leading up to it felt good. Waller with the insufferable like lady holding his golden future shoey.
That's so funny.
On a pillow was great. And then the chain mail was just like
got that big pump.
It was so good. I really loved the buildup, and then it just felt like a match in a cage. Like it's because it's that WWE ultra safe cage match that I've grown quite bored of, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like, yeah, I don't know. And yeah, spear, lots of spears.
Yeah.
And then the big cage spot was just like, yeah, that's what you do now.
What was kind of neat was I like Grayson Waller going to the top and then Bron Breakker getting up and being like, not today.
Yeah.
That was a little bit different. I didn't hate that.
It wasn't bad. It's just that from that point on, I knew exactly where it was going, what was going to happen. Like,
yeah, that was the hulking out moment.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then after the match, you know, Breakker goes to the top of the cage and he's celebrating. And then Mello comes out with Trick. And my favorite part out of all of that was Bron Breakker looking like he's about to climb down the cage and then looking down and being like, oh shit, how do I do this? Oh, he's like, I'm just gonna stay up here.
A big man. Yeah. Maybe I'll wait for a ladder.
I was waiting for someone to be like, they had to fish Bron Breakker off the top of the cage.
There's a couple of guys got some big hooks and they strap his singlet up. Just
easy does it, big fella.
just get the big dog down.
So that was Vengeance Day. It was, again, I agree with you that it was a good show for the first half, and then kind of the second half dragged a little bit.
I was really surprised because the undercard like really over delivered for me. Like it was just very surprising. Like even Apollo Crews, who like I continue to like kind of ignore, but like every time he gets in the ring he does some wild shit, like that ring apron to the floor standing shooting star was like, it was just aggressive in its velocity downwards. Like it's like, oh god.
The I think there's also a certain segment of the audience that's getting bored of Bron Breakker as champion
because he's got like, he's a very like one note personality. He's just a meathead. Like, how much can I support? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Whereas Grayson Waller with the golden shoey was so funny. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. And then Grayson Waller afterwards on the Shawn Michaels media call comes out, looks for Sean Ross simp. my favorite. By the way, this is what I told you. This is what happens when Sean Ross Sapp gets on a media call or a presser on a WWE product and shills Fightful Select. By the way, $5, FightfulSelect.com. You get all the news and stuff.
I really love Grayson Waller. I don't care. Everyone hates him. It's great. He's good at being hated. Like, he's very, very good at, he's outdoing the Pauls because he can embrace it, right?
So this was something that I was thinking about. The both Steiner brothers have apparently signed WWE Legends contracts. So Scott and, well, Rick was already back in the fold.
Yeah, Rick's Scott, easy, but Scott begrudgingly was like, I need Scott some money. Seems
to be brought back a little bit. Ironic because of the whole Triple H and Scott stuff. But I think they maybe smooth things over.
Yeah.
I would love to see Scott and Rick walk their boy down to the ring, either on his first night on Raw or SmackDown, or on his last night as NXT champion at Stand and Deliver in LA. Let's say the Steiners get their Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah.
Have them walk him down the ring. And yeah, he's going to lose the title to Melo, and that's fine. It's time. But like, make it a big deal. Make it a graduation ceremony, even though he's going out on his back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
be. It'd be very cool. He can break one last thing. A really big, maybe just fuse all of the props that he's broken along the way together and then have him break that.
He's going to come down to the ring with a tiger.
Oh,
just like his Uncle Scott. And he's going to just cut it in the chainmail. He's going to
have, they're in Florida. Wait, no, they're in California. They're not going to be able to do that.
I don't know where they were when Scott did that.
Yeah. I don't know. Different era though.
God damn. Now I'm thinking about it. Anyway,
someone will tell us.
Let's talk about it with the last 15 or so minutes that we have. WrestleMania season's upon us. Cody Rhodes wins the Royal Rumble. It's Mania time, baby. Going to Montreal. It's time for the Chamber. The big match was finally set on Friday night. Sami Zayn, Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Championship. Cody and Roman have a match 40 some odd days later at WrestleMania, and some people, I think it's a pretty vocal minority.
Yeah.
Personally.
A lot of internet people.
We'll get to that in a minute. They seem to think that it should have been Sammy all along. And I disagree with that. I've said why, and we're going to talk about it here. But I want your opinion about how this is going with Sammy. And do you think that Sammy should be in the WrestleMania main event against Roman Reigns, or is this storytelling going the way you think it should be?
I think it's fine how it is. Sammy can't. Yeah. Okay. This is a tough one to kind of dance around. I'm not a huge, huge Cody fan. Like, I'll put that out there at first. Like, I don't have a huge problem with him. I think he's much better suited to WWE than he was with AEW. I really hated his AEW shtick because it was Homelander. Like, and just seemed to lack self-awareness. But whatever. In WWE, it feels appropriate. The problem is now he's super duper hyped, so it's hard to walk away from that after his return, the pectoral tear, that big match, and then hyping up the return and the Rumble win. Like, that stuff all had to happen the way it did, I really feel like. I don't think they can walk it back now. The thing when he first joined was also, I need to finish the story. And that needs to happen this year. And if it doesn't work or happen ever because it's awkward. Like, he can lose at Mania, but like, you have to have that match.
Losing at Mania, by the way.
You would hate it?
I would hate it.
Yeah, because then here's my biggest problem with it. I don't want to watch Cody Rhodes continue to tell the same bland ass story for a full year. Because that's what you'll get if he loses. He will continue to chase it. He will still be trying to finish the story. And I don't want that. I would rather he just win. Get it over with. Rip the Band-Aid off.
And you know what? So this is what I was talking about online a little bit. And I know not everyone's online. That's fine. That's why we do this show. Because not everyone wants to scour Twitter for takes. Because believe me, it can be a cesspool of an environment.
It is.
So the way I put it was, this is Cody. Cody is the first challenger for the WWE Championship, the Undisputed, whatever the hell you want to call it, title, that has his eyes on the title and not on the guy holding it. He doesn't care who the champion is. He wants the championship. He has focus on that. Every other challenger who's come at Roman, wants the bloodline, wants to take them down. And yeah, Cody said the whole thing about, like, you know, wrestling is more than one royal family, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to get a little personal, obviously. But the whole focus for Cody is winning the title for his dad.
Yeah.
Sammy, KO, everyone before, Jimmy, Jay, whatever. It was all about taking down the tribal chief. This is the first time where Roman trying to gaslight his way through his own title feud or title defense might not work. And on top of that, I said this elsewhere, Roman is the 100% heel in WWE. Cody right now is the 100% babyface, insofar that there are people in this chat talking about how people trying to pull booing Cody into existence being cringeworthy. And I agree with this. I think it's absolutely asinine to think that your whitest white meat babyface in the entire company is going to get booed just because the guy who's really popular right this second and is getting a title shot. And the whole story, for anyone who's paid attention, hasn't been about the WWE Championship. It hasn't been about Roman. The Sami Zayn story has always been about Jey Uso and friendship and belonging.
Yeah.
It's a Vin Diesel movie. But the point is, Cody versus Roman makes the most sense as a title fight.
It absolutely does. And not for nothing, like, you know, it is, that's the title fight. It's rah-rah America guy. Like, it's Hulk Hogan versus, you know, the big baddie. It's fine. Like, it's fine. This is the most pro wrestling thing. It's more appropriate for WrestleMania as I see it. I love Sami Zayn. I saw some rumblings about people not seeing him as a WrestleMania main eventer. I don't see him as a WrestleMania main eventer. Like, I love the guy. I think he's a tremendous storyteller and a really good, like, comedian kind of role. I don't see his in-ring or moveset as being like main event type stuff. Like, I don't even think you're going to see a big wrestling match at Elimination Chamber for this. This will be another like Roman versus Jay in the Cell story time match, which Sammy excels at. Like, he is exceptional at it, but that doesn't make sense at Mania. This makes perfect sense for Elimination Chamber because the focal point is the Elimination Chamber, right? Those are the main event matches, so they can tell this narrative match and it not underwhelm people, right? So I think it just makes the most sense. I love Sami Zayn. I think he makes more sense in the tag division. Like, he's an upper mid-carder guy. Like, I've never seen him as like a main event guy, and I don't think I really want to. Like, he doesn't strike me as that type of pro wrestler.
The Sami isn't a main eventer comments, I think they've been taken out of context. I think a lot of people took them as literally as possible. And the way you put it was exactly what it should have been. It's that, again, the Good Morning America test. Who's going to look good with a title around their waist showing up on Good Morning America?
Yeah, the little hairy French Canadian in America. Like, yeah. It just doesn't, you know, he's, and this is bigger for him, in my opinion, than WrestleMania, to go to Montreal and like do a main event match. Like, that has way more impact, I think, given, like, you know, how Canadians kind of see things.
Go back and look at the way that he reacted on SmackDown. He acted his ass off. He yelled and screamed, and he just made it so much more interesting. And like my friends in the chat saying the crowd will be ridiculous. And I know this guy is going to the show. He literally messaged me the next morning and was just like, well, I'm an idiot, and sent me his Ticketmaster receipt because he had been sitting on the fence about whether or not he was going, and he's going, and I might join you. So we'll see.
It might be the loudest pop across the world in pro wrestling. Like, it's going to be impactful.
And
like,
this is what I said we should be doing. It should really be Sammy comes out in Montreal, his old theme.
Yeah.
One that everyone knows, the skanking theme, the ska theme. And he does it, and he's got his hair cut and his beard trimmed, and he's looking like the normal, quote-unquote, Sami Zayn. The one that wasn't a conspiracy theorist. The one that was just...
one from Montreal.
He belonged. Because that's when he realizes where he belongs is home. And you know who else is at home ready for him to belong? Kevin is his Owens. Best friend, Kevin. So what happens in the not the Elimination Chamber, but in the main event of Elimination Chamber? Roman's going to win. That's fine. And it's probably going to end up being the Jey Uso coming back, was on Sammy's side, and then turns on Sammy. Ultimate betrayal. Roman wins the match. They beat down. The bloodline is renewed. They're all back together. KO comes out at the end of the show, and that's it. They hug, and that's how they go off the air. Sammy didn't win, but they just put the team back together. The boys are back, and it's the hometown pop. That's the moment.
And that's like, that's a way bigger WrestleMania match, in my opinion, than Roman versus Sammy one-on-one. Like, having him have his boy in his corner, and like, they actually do a tag team match, and they get to win the tag team titles. Like, that's I feel like will be way, way more enthralling for me, at least. Like, that's something that's a lot more engaging, because I just it's not realistic to have Sami Zayn like beat Roman Reigns.
It's not, and that's okay. That's the thing. Like, this isn't all about winning the championship. This is about ending this particular chapter of the story, because again, Sami screamed it from the rooftops on SmackDown. This was never about the title. Now it's about the title because of what happened at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Right. Now he wants to take the thing from Roman that means the most to him. And that's the title. So yeah, it's a title fight, but it's still personal. And because it's personal, that's going to cloud Sammy's eventual.
Not going to be able to win.
Yeah, he's going to lose.
He's also has to fight five guys. Like,
and again, people are just like, oh, everyone's going to boo Cody. Well, no, here's the thing. First of all, Cody tweeted out his schedule for February. There's one date that's not on there, and that's Elimination Chamber. He's scheduled for Raw the next night in Ottawa.
Yeah, which, like, I don't think you'll see Cody there. I don't think you need to. You might get a video package. Like,
you'll have a hype package of some sort.
Yeah.
And that's that. But then Cody will be all over that Ottawa Raw. And I'm really interested in how Ottawa responds to him, because Cody is very rah-rah, love my America.
America. It is Ottawa. It'll probably be polite clapping.
Think anyone's going to go to that? No, I just can't.
Yeah, I don't know. They just destroyed the Senators thing with like their weird merch crossover for that hideous fanny pack.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. My buddy Zach was part of that.
It's hideous fanny pack. Is
it
his?
I have one waiting.
Did he make it?
I have one of those fanny packs waiting. He didn't make it. He was part of the deal to put it together. Anyway.
He signed off on that. He should be ashamed.
He was part of it. I mean, they hideous. Got rid of 5,000 of them.
Yeah, people wanted them. You're all wrong.
They got Dolph Ziggler showed up and did a heat spot. Mm. I think the Sens still lost. They lost that real bad too.
Yeah,
they lost that game like 8-2.
They love a loss.
Oh God. You think Ryan Reynolds is going to buy that team?
He's got enough on his plate. Just wandering through Seneca now, I guess. Third rate colleges in Canada.
I'm interested in seeing how things play out at the Elimination Chamber. But I'm curious to see how they start telling the Cody and Roman story, because that's going to be the big litmus test going into Mania. You've got effectively at that point, is it 12? No, it's not 12 shows. I think, well, you know, you have 12 shows because I think you have 6 weeks from the 19th until the 3rd of April or whatever it is. You have a long time until Mania, and that's 2 shows a week, right? I'm saying Raw and SmackDown. So you got I think it's about 12 shows is what I figured out, but maybe I'm wrong. Regardless, you have a lot of time to tell this show and tell this story. And I think they're going to get there, because if there's two guys on the microphone that are going to have really different promos for each other, it's Cody and Roman.
Yeah. I mean, the low hanging fruit is, oh yeah, you're one of the other royal families. Well, guess who is the head of his? Like,
they are going to take shots at AEW through Cody.
Oh God.
And it's going to be, and I can
hear right, Cody time to lick the boot.
And I can hear it now. Like, I'm going to have, and here's the thing. I love Wade Keller. People know that I love PW Torch and that I've done work with them and I absolutely love them. I can already hear Wade and Co. being like, did he have to take shots at AEW? I think it was a little low. I think it's really stupid to do that. And I'm just sitting there like, I think this is great. Keep taking shots at each other.
It fires up everyone. It creates better TV if they're both angry.
Exactly. Let everyone be angry. Show up at the Norfolk Scope with a big DX invasion. Let's do it again.
God. I don't need to watch like this sad grandfather attack.
Judgment Day. led by Triple H show up at whatever.
We're going to cringe you to death.
Let's do it. I don't know. I think it's fun that people are excited for Elimination Chamber. I think it's more interesting that people should be paying attention to where the story is going with Cody and Roman, and not immediately down on Cody because he just came back. And not
only here's the thing with Cody. I will give him this. We'll see if his promos are good or like so horrendous, but it could go either way because he's done both.
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, it'll be entertaining, either because it's good or because.
Oh, we lost Tim. That's how good it is. I like how we lost him in that specific face, by the way. Oh my God, this is great. Guys, I hope you can see this. He's absolutely gone down. Yeah, Dom's going to be in a tank, by the way. Judgment Day. He's got a mini tank. He's got the Shotzi tank. He just stole it. If this is the way that Tim goes out, I am all for it, by the way. By the way, Cyclops, thank you for the bit saying, feels like the people saying Cody will be booted, the people really hoping it'll happen for some strange reason. And that's the thing. There's no reason for it to happen. There's no reason for Cody to get booed like this. I'm keeping Tim like this, by the way. I'm sure he'll figure himself out. But I'm well aware he's frozen. That's the best part. Now he's gone. Now it's just me. Okay, fine. You know what I'll do? Here. I'll take off the thing because now I'm on my own. The whole thing is that we need. All right, you're gonna get that. Yeah, Joel calls it in the ring on his own. That's what it is. Right now, all we need is for Tim to come back, which here he is. What happened to you, Tim?
I ended up kicking the power bar and powered down my computer.
This is amazing. That's great. This is the way you should end it. This is the way that this whole thing should end. Hold on. Let's really add for effect. Here we go. There's the background. Yeah.
The future.
That's next week. I was just telling people that like it makes absolutely no sense for people to be on this crusade to boo Cody. Because
he might earn it.
He should earn it. That's fine. Let him earn it. But like to do it now is just like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
Let's cause shit. It's not Daniel Bryan Redux. Like this is an absolutely different show. So I don't know, man. I think we should go to Montreal. I do. I think we should go to Montreal. I think we should talk to a bunch of wrestlers at IWS in Montreal, get some interviews, and then go to the chamber. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds fun as hell. We'll see. I would love to go. It didn't look like it was going to happen. Then now maybe we can make it happen. So
I'm gonna talk to Sean and Jimmy and see if they'll let us go.
I really like the branding for it. It's cold is very appropriate.
And someone was listening to when they announced in Montreal. I was like, Montreal in February, what is wrong with you?
You are ill. Like
it's the worst possible outcome right now. Anyway, let's get out of here. Tim, you want to plug anything before we get out?
You can find me at Miss Kate Fabe, MissKateFabe on Twitter. Figure it out.
Next week, Kate and I think are going to be here. I know it's the Super Bowl, but no one gives a shit about that. Just saying, nobody cares about Super Bowl.
It's I'll be watching the Super Bowl.
Tim's going to show up for work again, but we'll be here. That's all that matters. We'll be here talking about wrestling, and hopefully you'll join us too. 8 p.m. Eastern every Sunday. Now it's going to be Joel and Kate. Tim's going to be around for the post PLE talk.
The Ples,
and his cat will be here too. So I'm going to get out of here. Ladies, gentlemen, friends, beyond the binary, I'm Atrol Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. I'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.